Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the JSW Infrastructure Limited conference call hosted by Nuvama Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Achal Lohade from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Nuvama Institutional Equities, we welcome you all to the Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of JSW Infrastructure Limited. To discuss the results today, we have with us Mr. Rinkesh Roy, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Lalit Singhvi, Whole-time Director and CFO, and Mr. Vishesh Pachnanda, Head Investor Relations. Without much delay, I'll now hand over the call to the management to start with brief opening remarks, which will be followed by Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Achal. I'm Rinkesh. Good evening, and thank you all for joining our earnings call for the quarter and the year ended 31st March 2025. The overall global growth landscape is marked by uncertainty leading to significant volatility across business environments, financial markets, commodity markets, supply chains, and capital flows. Despite global challenges, India has remained one of the fastest-growing major economies, supported by robust domestic demand, a stable monetary policy, and a focus on infrastructure development. Government initiatives aimed at enhancing manufacturing logistics are generating new opportunities across various sectors, including ours. The government is undertaking significant measures to enhance the efficiency and effectiveness of the logistics sector. Both central and state governments are collaborating to increase the nation's total port handling capacity from the current 2,700 million tons per annum to 3,500 million tons per annum by 2030 and 10,000 million tons by 2047. In line with this vision, the involvement of private players is being progressively expanded through PPP terminals. Major ports in India, which are owned by the central government, account for over 50% of the country's port capacity, with a substantial portion yet to be privatized. This presents a tremendous opportunity for a business enterprise like ours to leverage and expand our operations. I want to emphasize that JSW's infrastructure business remains largely unaffected by the current trade uncertainties. However, we are diligently monitoring the evolving trade tensions and emerging developments to ensure they are appropriately addressed in relation to our business model. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the future and confident in our ability to navigate these challenges while seizing new opportunities for growth. As communicated earlier, I'll continue to focus on my top three priorities. Number one, to ensure the advancement and successful completion of our expansion plan to 400 million tons per annum by financial year 2030 or before, encompassing greenfield, brownfield, and other growth projects within the stipulated time and budget. Number two, to significantly scale up the logistics business segment, targeting a top line of rupees 8,000 crores by FY30 and an EBITDA margin approaching 25%. The objective is to expand the business on an asset-light model to achieve an industry-leading return on capital employed. And number three, to continuously seek out value-accretive inorganic opportunities. In that respect, FY25 was a year of strategic progress for us and achieving various milestones for our company. We have made significant progress in the journey towards the completion of our expansion projects to reach a capacity of 400 million tons by FY2030 or before. We have made significant progress in the journey towards the completion of our expansion projects. Now, specifically on the developments during the quarter, at Tuticorin and JNPA, we have received approval from the relevant authorities to begin interim operations. Consequently, we have handled approximately 0.9 million tons and 0.1 million tons, respectively, this quarter. Following the timely completion of the construction of the cover shed at Southwest Port Goa, I'm pleased to announce that the cargo handling capacity at Southwest Port has increased from 8.5 million tons per annum to 11 million tons per annum. This has resulted in the company's total capacity increasing from 174 to 177 million tons per annum. Further approvals are being sought to increase the total capacity of the Goa terminal to 15 million tons. We have successfully completed the acquisition of the slurry pipeline and signed a long-term take-or-pay agreement with JSW Steel. Currently, 180 kilometers out of the 302 kilometer pipeline work has been completed and we are on schedule to finish the construction by March 27. Moving on to the operational and financial performance, for the year 25, the total cargo handled stood at 117 million tons. This is a 9% year-on-year growth. A third-party cargo grew by 34% year-on-year to 57.3 million tons. And the share of third party increased to 49% in the overall mix, a jump from 40% a year ago. Total revenue for the year ended March 25 stood at 4829 crores, reflecting a growth of 20% year on year. Total EBITDA for the period stood at 2615 crores, which is a 17% year on year growth. And net profit for the period was 1521 crores, a growth of 31%. The board has recommended the dividend of rupees 0.80 per share, representing 40% of the face value. With this, let me hand over to Mr. Lalit Singhvi, our CFO, to take us through the financials and other details.
Thank you, Rinkesh, and good evening, everyone. Let me first talk about our port business. In Q4 FY25, the company handled cargo volumes of 31.2 million tons as compared to 29.9 million tons in our quarter ended March 24. The 5% increase, volume increase was primarily driven by the robust coal demand in the coal terminals at Mangalore, Ennore and Paradeep, and was also fueled by the start of interim operations at Tuticorin terminal and JNPL liquid terminal. The growth was partially offset by the lower cargo volumes in the iron ore terminal at Paradeep. Third-party cargo has increased to 15.5 million tons from 14 million tons, representing 11% growth, and share of third-party volume stood at 50% versus 47% a year ago. The growth in cargo volume and the change in volume mix resulted in 5% increase in operational revenue for the port segment for the quarter, from 1096 crores in FY24 to 1152 crores in FY25. Operational EBITDA for the port segment stood at 626 crores from 581 crores, an increase of 8%. The EBITDA growth was largely driven by the increased revenue. We have consolidated Navkar Corporation financial in the previous quarter with effect from October 11, 24. The total consolidated revenue of the company stood at 1372 crores. And total EBITDA stood at 730 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 14% and 7% respectively. Consolidated depreciation was 140 crores and finance cost was 94 crores in the current quarter as compared to 134 crores and 75 crores respectively in the quarter ended March 24. Given the changes in the INR and subsequent changes in the yield curve, we have recognized a mark-to-market unrealized gain of 86 crores. And this is essentially a non-cash charge and in line with guidelines of Ind AS 109. As a result, profit before tax for the quarter ended March 25 stood at 581 crores as compared to 417 crores in the quarter ended March 24. Tax for the current year, for the current quarter, grew by 57% at 516 crores as compared to 329 crores in the same period last year. During FY25, the company undertook capital expenditure amounting to 2,444 crores, which was directed towards the acquisition of slurry pipeline as well as towards various ongoing and new projects. In addition, during the year, company successfully completed the acquisition of Navkar Corporation at an enterprise value of 1596 crores. For FY26, the company plans to invest approximately 5,500 crores with a significant portion around 4,000 crores allocated towards the port business and 1,500 crores earmarked for the logistics segment. As of March 25, we have net debt of 1471 crores. with a net debt to operating EBITDA of 0.65 and one of the strongest balance sheet in the sector. This, coupled with steadily increasing annual operating cash flows from the current asset base, we are well positioned to pursue a growth plan to enhance our present cargo handling capacity to 400 million ton and parallelly grow our logistic business with a top line of 8,000 crore by FY2030. With this, I request the operator to open the line for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Mohit, please be a little louder.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I clear now?
Yes. Yes,
my question is, with the government looking to free up the pricing for existing concessions, what do you make of the draft proposal?
So we have been in agreement with this, and we have been pursuing along with all other associations that this comes to fruition very quickly, because this is with the abolition of TAM, the regulation on prices should have also been removed.
So do you think broadly it is as per the industry liking the adjustments on the revenues and the formula which we give for the adjustments?
No, it is, you see, finally in the end analysis, although the pricing is free, you can only charge up to what the customer or the market can bear. It's not something that it's for the industry to charge exorbitant rates, because there are most of the ports sector, the companies have two port solutions. So that I don't think will be a major issue, that people will be pricing themselves very exorbitantly.
Understood. So my second question is, can you please explain the nature of investment in logistics business of rupees 15 billion, which you have earmarked for FY26?
Yeah, so we have acquired Navkar, and in Navkar also they have not invested in last 2 years. So we see a lot of low-hanging fruit. So we will be investing, board has approved around 170 crores to be spent in Navkar. Then we are looking to, as per our plan of 9,000 crores we have spelled out, we are increasing, placing some orders for the rail, for the rakes. So that would be a substantial investment, what we are looking around 600 crores in that. And then there are GCTs and, there are some acquisition possibilities which we are right now working. So all put together, we are looking at 1500 crores to be spent during this year.
Understood. My last question, sir, on the volume, especially at Dharamtar and Jaigarh, I think they are flattish for last couple of years. Is it fair to assume that we'll see some growth in FY26?
See, as we said earlier also, at our these locations, we are depending on the group cargo, and group cargo, we will have a growth, lumpy growth. So they are running at a particular capacity, so till the new capacities come in, we will remain at the same level. So, it was little subdued last year, but it is almost stable. You can say that the cargo will remain there. So our growth is coming from third party cargo. So 27-28, we are expecting quantum jump, and Dolvi Steel plant takes their capacity from 10 to 15 million tons. And that will give benefit of, say, around, 12 to 15 million tons at our Dharamtar and Jaigarh ports. So this, if you take all this, together, the growth would be quite good on a CAGR basis. But if you see on year-on-year basis, it will remain stable.
Understood, sir. Thank you, and best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Priyankar Biswas from BNP Paribas Exane. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, can you provide some guidance or color, if you can, let's say, what sort of cargo volumes we can expect in FY 2026, and potentially what sort of logistics revenue that you may be targeting to clock in FY 2026?
Broadly, we are looking at a 10% growth in port volumes, and the revenue in the logistics business, we are looking at around 50% growth.
50% growth is at the entire logistics, not just Navkar, so total?
Total.
Okay. Sir, one more thing, that a lot of our growth outlook is also some of our future growth outlook, if it comes, it also hinges on berth privatization at major ports. Are there anything we are seeing in the near-term pipeline, so let's say in the next one year?
Already, you know, two expression of interest have come out, one at Kolkata Port, one recently at Paradip. This, we are expecting it, this process to be speeded up in the coming months.
Any idea of what can be the sizes of this, like, if we have to factor in?
Broadly, we are looking at, you know, concessions coming out in the range of 30-40 million tons per annum in the per annum basis in the next one or two years.
Okay, sir. Just one last question from my side. In the fourth quarter, just like in the previous year, was there any take or pay type of revenues? Also, can you also give the ESOP charges in FY 2025 and possibly what you see in FY 2026?
Yeah. You know, like, every last quarter, whatever the take or pay quantities are assessed, and then revenue is earned. In this quarter also, for our, you know, LNG berth at Jaigarh Port, revenue was booked on the take or pay basis. On the ESOP charging, again, you know, the cost in this year was much lower compared to, you know, last year, as we said earlier. It was lower by 20 crore in Q4.
Would there be any charges in FY 2026 ESOP?
FY 2026 will be just 25 crore.
For the full year.
For the full year. Now it will, you know, almost everything is already charged off.
Yes, sir. At Jaigarh, can you give the take or pay quantum, if it's possible? That's the last question.
It's around 80 crore.
Okay, sir. That's largely all from my side.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Alok Deora from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Just had a few questions. First is on the port side. In this iron ore volumes, you know, particularly have been lower even in this quarter, which it was the same thing in the last quarter as well. Where do we see that going, the Paradip iron ore volumes? Because that's coming at around 2 million tons.
As in the last quarter, if you remember, when we had spoken that time, Vedanta mines had not come on stream, so they have now come on stream.
Okay.
There were issues on pellet exports because of low prices. This will be a slightly volatile market. We'll not be able to, you know, kind of exactly predict the nature of this, because primarily a large part of this movement is for the export market. We will be watching the trends, but broadly, right now, there is some demand that we are seeing that most of the forecasts are for $100 of pricing, which is a good enough pricing for movement of iron ore.
Sure. And sir, you started your comments with about global uncertainty and challenges in supply chain. And so how do we see the movement in volume shaping up ahead? I mean, you also mentioned about the 10% growth in cargo volume for FY26. So is that like a base case scenario, or could there be any downside or upside risk to that number? Just wanted your thoughts on that.
So broadly, if you see, we cater to steel, energy and others. This is our broad mix and of cargo handling. In steel, if you see, most of the movement is for domestic use, except for some quantity that moves at Paradeep. So our impression is that with the duty safeguards also coming in for steel imports, we foresee that the steel market will be doing well. So on the cargo front, we have nothing to fear there. On the energy front, we are seeing that there is a huge demand for energy, and coal being the primary base for that. So there also we are not forcing any major change. And lastly, on containers, we have a very small exposure to at Mangalore. And that is also, if you see the trend of traffic there, is primarily to South Africa or the Middle East. So we really don't foresee much of challenge in this uncertainty. And that is what I had pointed out, that we are pretty confident on this guidance that we have given.
So 10% guidance is on a conservative basis only, and it is, you know, no way it will affect with the, you know, current tariff issues which are going on. So it is a very conservative guidance. So I don't foresee any issue in that.
Got it, sir. Just one last question. So in the logistics business, we are incurring losses at this point primarily due to the Navkar consolidation. So how do we see this moving ahead in terms of, you mentioned about the revenue being 50% higher in 26. How do we see the profitability moving? Because we have taken it now and it's been almost two quarters. Have we got the, you know, the synergies getting in place now, or our, you know, expertise getting into that, or it will take some time before we kind of run also profitable?
See, we have just, you know, finished 6 months, so we see a lot of opportunity in the logistics sector, and Navkar will certainly do well. In fact, whatever was there, you know, their accounting practices and our practices, there were certain cleaning up required, certain provisioning were required. This is all one time, which has all been done with this current year ending. So their normalized EBITDA, if you look at it, it was anyway 50-55 crores. So because of this cleaning up, you know, they ended with sort of a 10 crores EBITDA. And with now, since we have aggressive plans for logistics sector, we are looking for 50% plus revenue growth, and EBITDA will also have a quantum jump from the, you know, normalized EBITDA which I talked about. So we see a lot of scope going there, and our overall you know, logistic play in which there are a lot more things to happen. So Navkar will also get synergy of that.
We are looking at least an EBITDA of, you know, 100 crores in the at Navkar in the current financial.
So with 50% revenue increase and EBITDA levels, you know, from normalized EBITDA, it may go almost double. So lots of opportunities are there in the logistics sector.
Got it. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Achal Lohade from Nuvama Wealth, from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, wanted to understand, for achieving this 8,000 crore revenue in logistics, what kind of capital employed are you looking at? What kind of further capex are we looking at?
Logistics. So logistics, we are, you know, we have set a plan that, you know, we'll be spending, say, 9,000 crores overall in 5 years, 1,000 crores almost spent. And this year, we are contemplating to spend another 1,500 crores. So our plan is by FY30, we'll have 8,000 crores of revenue with 2,000 crores of EBITDA. And we see this, you know, happening with the, you know, with current year itself, we are exploring certain approaches. opportunities will start giving EBITDA from the current year itself.
Right. And in terms of the timeline for the greenfield project, if you could just highlight how are they tracking, what stage of approval are we for each of these things?
The major projects like, let us say, Jaigarh and Dharamsar expansion, they are already on track, and civil works have already started at both places. Similarly, JNPA liquid terminal, we should be looking at commissioning it by July, August this year, so we are on track there. Tuticorin, we are looking at doing it Tuticorin, we are looking at completion by Q4 of FY26. Mangalore container terminal expansion, again we are on track, we should be doing it by Q2 of 27. Goa, as I told you, it's completed. LPG terminal at Jaigarh, targeting by June 26. And Keni Port, already we are looking at applying for the regulatory clearances from environment. Jatadhar, the concession agreement should be signed by this quarter. And we should look at your completion by March 27. And slurry pipeline also, it's, as I told you, it's going on. Around 200 plus kilometers have been welded, 180 has been lowered, and we look at its completion by March 27. So these are the major projects which were supposed to come up before March 27. So we are more or less on track on these projects.
Understood. And can you just clarify a little bit with respect to this 10% volume growth? How much are you building, you know, from the the third parties, and how much would be captive growth, or captive could be more, group cargo could be more flattish?
So here our growth, we are looking at, you see, this interim operations at these two terminals at JNPT and Tuticorin, this will be giving us around 50% of that growth. The rest 50% will come from better utilization of capacities, primarily at Paradip coal terminal and at Goa. So the was told by our CFO also, that since the capacity expansion at Dolvi steel plant is from 10 to 15 will be the place where we'll have a lumpy growth. So the rest all will remain more or less at similar levels.
So next year's third party cargo will obviously further increase from the current level of 50%, because most of the growth is coming from third party in the next year's plan.
Understood. And just one last question, with respect to there were several media articles about the green energy projects which we are looking at. If you could elaborate a little bit on that. What is the thought process and what kind of capital can we see deploying there?
So, at our Jaigarh port, we are looking at these opportunities, and there is a lot of interest from various, companies to set up green ammonia type of, stuff. So, we are very keen, and once we have something here, we can always plan to have it in Keni also. So, things are being seen by the various, interested parties, and as soon as something materializes, we'll keep media updated.
So is it fair to say that whatever CapEx we will do, it will be obviously basis the customer's needs? So it's not that we will set up capacity and wait for the customer. Have I understood?
No. We are not setting up. We are just enablers. This gives business to the core.
Better utilization of our waterfront is what we will be looking at.
Understood. You're not, any material CapEx is not expected on these counts. Is that right?
No. Unless there is a guaranteed traffic that we see, otherwise we are not looking at
it. Understood. Alright, I'll call back in with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ankita Shah from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, only one question on margins. Given that the mix is going to change, also you're expecting improvement in the logistics segment. So how is margins expected to pan out in FY26-27? Given that our port expansion is going to be more back-ended. So how consolidated margins expected to pan out?
See, now we have to look at the segments reporting. So port margins will remain, say, around 52% or so. And our logistics, we are aiming around 15% margin. So we'll have to see, you know, separately. If you look at the combined one, it has to come down. Because logistics will always be like this. And we are looking at over a longer period of time, even logistics margins going up to 25. So, but currently, if you look at immediately, which is 12-13%, it will go to 15% by next year.
Got it. Great. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kondinya Nimagada from Jefferies Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions from my end. Firstly, on the third party volumes, I mean, you did speak about FY26, but from on a sustainable basis, what should be the growth that we can look at it over here, maybe? Because, I mean, 9 months we saw strong growth with addition of new ports, and then this quarter it's only 11%. So on a sustainable basis, what is the number that we can look at it over here? If you can also briefly touch base upon the key industries that drive this growth. That's the first question.
Okay, so here basically if you see the growth that we are looking at in 26, 70% of it will be primarily from third party, 30% will be group. So that is what will be the ratio in the coming...
incremental group.
Incremental, that is, yeah. From 117 to another 10% that we are looking at. And in the long-term basis, we, you know, between, till the Dolvi plant expansion comes on stream, you will be having a higher percentage of third party vis-a-vis the group cargo. And once it comes on stream and the other projects like slurry pipeline, jetas are coming on stream, you will be broadly seeing a movement back towards more of group cargo. So that will be a kind of varying in the range of 55 to 45%. In this range it will be moving up and down as and when the projects get commissioned.
Sir, can you speak a little bit about the catchment area or the industries that will give you this growth over here? Because adding port is one part and then getting volumes through for that port is a different thing, right? So that's where I was trying to understand.
So primarily if you see, the government is now promoting something called rail cum sea route movement of coastal cargo, especially for energy needs across India. So there the key getaway, energy getaway for coal is Paradip. And that is where our Paradip terminal comes into play for the energy requirements across South India, and now we are looking at Western India and North India as well. Similarly, iron ore catchment area, the main mines are in Odisha, and if you would have seen, our entire long-term strategy has also been to have a terminal at Paradip as well as to have the slurry pipeline to Jatadhar to further augment and reduce transportation costs for every customer, including the group customer. Then on the receiving side, we have Jaigarh, Dharamtar, and Tuticorin is on the receiving side. So these are agents, and Ennore. So these are again strategically located points which are serving mostly cement or energy plants. So both of which go hand in hand with the movement of steel. So the moment the steel production and steel requirements go up, this also starts moving up. So broadly, if you see the our terminals are very strategically located to ensure this volume growth, not only now but also in the future.
So basically, if you see our terminals, most of them are running at a capacity of 100 to, 80% to 100% capacity utilization. This is primarily because their location is like that. The hinterland is very nearby. They're all developed. So we don't foresee any problem in the getting cargo.
Understood, sir. Very clear. Sir, my second question is on the logistics front. So we have these large plans of 8,000 crore revenue and also taking up margins from 14%-15% currently to 25%. So I'm just trying to understand, how do we plan to offer cost-effective logistics? Because ultimately, even for the end customer, it makes sense only if the logistics cost that we offer are cost competitive vis-à-vis the existing vendors, be it third-party vendors, even if it's JSW Steel. So how do we intend to offer these logistics solutions also at cost-effective level and also increase the margins for us?
So I'll just give you one example that we are looking at strategizing this growth in an asset-light model. So our main targets are getting into Gati Shakti terminals where we don't have to spend a huge CapEx on building the railway sidings or purchasing land at very expensive rates. So that is the first part of it, is the terminal CapExes we are looking at a very way lower than what the industry generally does. Number two, we are looking at powering these terminals through group cargo wherever they are available, and this through a combination of rakes, additional containers, and new terminals which move into the right markets. Lastly, we are looking at reducing the empty return ratio of this rake so that on return we get third-party cargo and other cargo so that the entire model sees to it that we are able to reduce the final cost for the customer.
Understood, sir. So lastly, one bookkeeping question. When can we pencil in this 15 million ton per annum for Goa? One QFY26, or will it be further delay from that?
No, we already, as I told you, from 8.5 to 11, we have already done, and this is a part of a process. Hopefully, this should be done in the next two quarters at least.
Two quarters. Sure, sir. Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditya Mongia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I'll go ahead with my questions. The first one I'll pick up is on logistics. I think we talked about the 600 crore plus kind of quantum the company wants to spend on rakes. It's kind of compared to what CONCOR does on a regular basis. Just trying to get a sense, is this more domestic kind of business that you're trying to set up on the logistics front? Kind of ties in with yours.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is domestic growth would be much higher what we have planned in next year in Anoka.
Yeah, so these rakes that you are going to kind of get will be used for the domestic business, right? More than EXIM, right?
Yeah.
Understood. The second question that I had was more on Dolvi. I wanted to get a sense from you that post it becoming 15 million tons of capacity and that giving us a fairly solid growth in fiscal 2028, is there scope to grow the asset further from there? Because would the same thing happen again that you would scale up a volume in a single year and then the growth may taper off?
So there at Dolvi, I think it will be moving in tandem with the expansion. So after that, it will be always a lumpy growth. One time it will come, and after that, it will start stabilizing at that. There's no other magic that can be done to get something extra there.
Yeah, so essentially the question was that beyond 15 million tons, can that asset grow at all? Is there a limitation to where it can go? Because obviously.
So I understood your question. So when we reached to 10, it was very difficult to think of going to 15. So we have reached 15. So there is always possibility that because this brownfield are always easier to implement
cost effective as well as time wise also. Greenfield is always difficult. So there could always be possibility of going further from 15 also.
And just to add, Aditya, when this plant was acquired by the anchor customer in 2011 or 12, it was 2 million ton and a lot of people questioned at that time whether it will go to 5 million. And now, you know, then it went to 10 million and now it is progressing to 15 million. So, you know, things turn out, there will be land acquisition nearby and, you know, the things kind of change. So right now, forecasting what will be the figure is difficult for us.
Sure. Could you also share the fourth revenues and the EBITDA for the full year and its comparison versus last year? Just makes it easier to compare numbers because of logistics coming inside of the world.
So if you look at, you know, FY25, one second. So you want to look at the port sector. So port sector, if you look at quarter on quarter, or you are looking at YTD?
Yeah, for the FY25 would do. Yeah.
Ha. So FY25, as I said, throughput is 9% increase. Revenue, total revenue we talk is 13% increase. EBITDA is 15% increase. Operational EBITDA is 14% increase. PBT is 25% increase and PAT is 33% increase.
And just to add, it's also given on page 12 of our investor presentation. You will have financial performance for ports for the quarter as well as full year.
Thank you, Vishesh, for that. Maybe a final question. So last earlier, so just trying to get a little bit more color. So JNPT and Tuticorin could contribute how much in the full year next year? Would it be a 5 million ton plus number that one should be expecting?
Yeah, certainly.
Exceeding that. About 5-6 million tons should easily come from these assets, right?
Yes. Sure.
Got that. That clarifies. And maybe the last final thing over here, when you say 50% increase in logistics, I am assuming over a full year number of 400 plus crores, right? Is the guidance and...
Yeah, full year number is around 485 crores, so from there we are looking 50% increase.
You got that. Thank you for the clarification. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Ketan Jain from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, I had a question. So recently in February, I read a news article saying that JSW Infrastructure plans to enter into airports, probably buying a stake in some airport in Bengal. What is this about, sir?
So this was just a discussion stage at some, you know, platform in, you know, West Bengal. This was, you know...
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity once again. So my question is, sir, can you please help us with the update on the expansion of steel plant in Dharamtar? Is it fair to assume that the steel plant will come by March 27 or Q1 FY28?
Yeah. So this is scheduled for March 27. You know, on the conservative side, they are talking about September 27, but work is progressing well. So we will be ready from port side by March 27 in any case. So we hope that, you know, we will get full year. Otherwise, if it's something, you know, a few months here and there, to that extent, it might be, you know, different.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from the line of Jane. Please go ahead.
Hello. My question was on the airport.
Sorry to interrupt, Ketan. Could you be a little louder, please? Thank you.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Please go ahead.
Sir, my question was on the airport thing in Bengal. You were answering.
Yeah. So, see, you know, being a large group, there are many proposals keep coming. So, we have, you know, not evaluated anything on the airport or not discussed in the, you know, board. So, if there is any such things, if we decide, we will certainly, you know, go for, then, you know, inform the media or investors. But at the moment, there is no such proposal or no such discussion. This was, you know, something came up and, you know, it was stopped. So, nothing has progressed on that.
Understood. Sir, also, can you provide me with adjusted PBT and PAT numbers for 4Q and FY25?
This call is now being recorded.
Ketan, we can connect offline. I'll give you the adjusted numbers. Is that fine?
Acha. Yeah, yeah, okay, fine, not a problem. And sir, just one last question. As you said, we've expanded on the Goa capacity. So do we see a growth in volumes in FY26 more than, say, 5% at Goa?
Yeah. We have told you that it will be, Goa will be a part of the growth in
growth. Understood.
Goa, we have been, you know, always 100% capacity utilization we have seen because there is no dearth of cargo there, being the cheapest cost option for Vijayanagar. So we expect, you know, similar trend for the, whatever the, you know, 11 million tons they have, now we have got the approval. So this should be near to that.
Understood. Okay. Thank you, sir. Those are my questions.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vineet from InvestSec. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Thanks, sir, for giving me the opportunity. So a few months back, there have been media articles around JSW Group entering into other type of metals, including copper. How that can help JSW Group, JSW Infra in particular? What opportunities would lie there if we were to tap into?
So it is quite far today. The JSW Group is contemplating for going for copper, but you know, how much capacity and all those things. So as and when you know, they come up, if there is a nearest port, if we have nearest port, definitely we will have an opportunity to add that cargo into our pool.
Understood. And so what could be the ratio of input to output? For instance, in case of steel, we require anywhere around 2.5-3 million tons of input in form of iron ore and coal. What will that ratio be in terms of input to output?
No, we have not gone in that those details as of now. So as and when there is a concrete proposal, we'll certainly come back to you.
Understood. Understood. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Nikhil Rungta from LIC Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just have one question on Navkar. So you mentioned like you'll be investing around 170 crores this year. And on the sales side, 50% growth, EBITDA of 100 crores at least. But one of the statements which you made was next year you have much bigger plans for Navkar. So if I have to look from 2 to 3 years perspective, what type of figure can we look at on the revenue side and the EBITDA side?
No, when I said, you know, next year we'll go big, this is basically on the overall logistic play. So Navkar is a part of overall logistic play. So Navkar, we have given guidance of next year only. We'll come back on further, you know, future years separately. But what we said, when we'll invest 1500 crores, this will be a larger, you know, logistic play. As far as Navkar is concerned, we have board has approved 170 crores of investment as of today.
Okay.
So thank you.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
So thank you, gentlemen, for your time. And I'd like to conclude that despite all the uncertainty in the global market, we are very confident of the guidance given to you of 10% growth in port volumes and the logistics part of it, which is primarily internal, and we are very sure that we will be meeting the guidances given for the year 26. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nuvama Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. You may now disconnect your lines.